Becker's Vespa was no doubt the smallest vehicle ever to tear down the Seville runway. Its top speed, a whining 50 miles per hour, sounded more like a chainsaw than a motorcycle, and was unfortunately well below the necessary power to become airborne. In his side mirror, Becker saw the taxi swing out onto the darkened runway about 400 yards back. It immediately started gaining. Becker faced front. In the distance, the contour of the airplane hangar stood framed against the night sky about a half mile out. Becker wondered if the taxi would overtake him in that distance. He suddenly felt fear like he had never known. He lowered his head and twisted the throttle as far as it would go. The Vespa was definitely topped out. Becker guessed the taxi behind him was doing almost 90, twice his speed. He set his sights on the three structures looming in the distance. The middle one. That's where the Learjet is. A shot rang out. The bullet buried itself in the runway yards behind him. Becker looked back. The assassin was hanging out the window, taking aim. Becker swerved and his side mirror exploded in a shower of glass. He could feel the impact of the bullet all the way up the handlebars. He lay his body flat on the bike. God help me. I'm not going to make it. The tarmac in front of Becker's Vespa was growing brighter now. The taxi was closing, the headlights throwing ghostly shadows down the runway. A shot fired. The bullet ricocheted off the hull of the bike. Becker struggled to keep from going into a swerve. I've got to make the hangar. He wondered if the Learjet pilot could see them coming. Does he have a weapon? Will he open the cabin doors in time? But as Becker approached the lit expanse of the open hangars, he realized the question was moot. The Learjet was nowhere to be seen. He squinted through blurred vision and prayed he was hallucinating. He was not. The hangar was bare. Oh my God! Where's the plane? As the two vehicles rocketed into the empty hangar, Becker desperately searched for an escape. There was none. The building's rear wall, an expansive sheet of corrugated metal, had no doors or windows. The taxi roared up beside him, and Becker looked left to see Ulu'ot raising his gun. Reflex took over. Becker slammed down on his brakes. He barely slowed. The hangar floor was slick with oil. The Vespa went into a headlong skid. Beside him, there was a deafening squeal as the taxi's brakes locked and the balding tires hydroplaned on the slippery surface. The car spun around in a cloud of smoke and burning rubber only inches to the left of Becker's skidding Vespa. Now side by side, the two vehicles skimmed out of control on a collision course with the rear of the hangar. Becker desperately pumped his brakes, but there was no traction. It was like driving on ice. In front of him, the metal wall loomed. It was coming fast. As the taxi spiraled wildly beside him, Becker faced the wall and braced for the impact. There was an ear-splitting crash of steel and corrugated metal, but there was no pain. Becker found himself suddenly in the open air, still on his Vespa, bouncing across a grassy field. It was as if the hangar's back wall had vanished before him. The taxi was still beside him, careening across the field. An enormous sheet of corrugated metal from the hangar's back wall billowed off the taxi's hood and sailed over Becker's head. Heart racing, Becker gunned the Vespa and took off into the night. Greg Hale lay curled on the Node 3 floor. Strathmore and Susan had dragged him across crypto and bound his hands and feet with 12-gauge printer cable from the Node 3 laser printers. Susan eyed the bound cryptographer uneasily. Hale was breathing heavily. Strathmore sat on the couch with the Beretta propped awkwardly in his lap. Susan returned her attention to Hale's terminal and continued her random string search. Her fourth string search ran its course and came up empty. Still no luck. We may need to wait for David to find Tancato's copy. Strathmore gave her a disapproving look. If David fails and Tancato's key falls into the wrong hands... Strathmore didn't need to finish. Susan understood. Until the digital fortress file on the internet had been replaced with Strathmore's modified version, Tancato's passkey was dangerous. After we make the switch, Strathmore added, I don't care how many passkeys are floating around. The more the merrier. He motioned for her to continue searching. But until then, we're playing beat the clock. Susan opened her mouth to acknowledge, but her words were drowned out by a sudden deafening blare. The silence of crypto was shattered by a warning horn from the sublevels. Susan and Strathmore exchanged startled looks.
What's that? Susan yelled.
Translator. It's too hot. Maybe Hale was right about the Ox power not pulling enough Freon.
What about the auto abort?
Strathmore thought a moment, then yelled. Something must have shorted. A yellow siren light spun above the crypto floor and swept a pulsating glare across his face.
You better abort.
Strathmore nodded. There was no telling what would happen if 3 million silicon processors overheated and decided to ignite. Strathmore shot a glance at the still unconscious Hale. He laid the Beretta on a table near Susan and yelled over the sirens, "Be right back!" As he disappeared through the hole in the Node 3 wall, Strathmore called over his shoulder, "And find me that passkey!" On the floor, Hale began to stir. With each blast of the horn, he winced. Susan surprised herself by grabbing the Beretta. Hale opened his eyes to see Susan Fletcher standing over him with the gun leveled at his crotch.
Where's the passkey?
I don't have it. Let me go. Hale tried to get up. He could barely roll over. Susan yelled between blasts of the horn.
You're North Dakota, and Ensei Tankato gave you a copy of his key. I need it now.
You're crazy, Hale gasped. I'm not North Dakota. He struggled unsuccessfully to free himself. Susan charged angrily.
Don't lie to me. Why the hell is all of North Dakota's mail in your account?
I told you before, Hale pleaded as the horns blared on. I snooped Strathmore. That email in my account was mail I copied out of Strathmore's account. Email comment stole from Tankato.
Bull. You could never snoop the commander's account.
You don't understand, Hale yelled.
There was already a tap on Strathmore's account.
Hale delivered his words in short bursts between the sirens.
Someone else put the tap there. I think it was Director Fontaine. I just piggybacked. You've got to believe me. That's how I found out about his plan to rewrite Digital Fortress. I've been reading Strathmore's brainstorms. Rewriting Digital Fortress is sick, Hale cried. You know damn well what it implies. Total NSA access.
The sirens blasted, drowning him out, but Hale was possessed.
You think we're ready for that responsibility? You think anyone is?
You say our government has the people's best interests at heart.
Great. But what happens when some future government doesn't have our best interests at heart? This technology is forever.
Susan had heard this argument many times. The future government's argument was a stock EFF complaint.
Strathmore had to be stopped, Hale screamed as the sirens blasted. I swore I'd do it. That's what I've been doing here all day, watching his account, waiting for him to make his move so I could record the switch in progress. I needed proof, evidence that he'd written in a back door. That's why I copied all his email into my account. It was evidence that he'd been watching Digital Fortress. I planned to go to the press with the information.
Susan's heart skipped. Had she heard correctly? Suddenly, this did sound like Greg Hale. Was it Skipjack all over? Uncovering an NSA backdoor again would make Greg Hale famous beyond his wildest dreams. It would also sink the NSA. She suddenly found herself wondering if maybe Hale was telling the truth.
No, she decided. Of course not.
Hale continued to plead.
I aborted your tracer because I thought you were looking for me. I thought you suspected Strathmore was being snooped. I didn't want you to find the leak and trace it back to me.
It was plausible, but unlikely.
Then why'd you kill Chartrukian? Susan snapped.
I didn't, Hale screamed over the noise.
Strathmore was the one who pushed him. I saw the whole thing from downstairs. Chartrukian was about to call the SysEx and ruin Strathmore's plans for the back door.
You're lying,
and I have proof. Susan strode around the ring of terminals. Remember that tracer you aborted? She asked, arriving at her own terminal. I sent it again. Shall we see if it's back yet?